We've talked about rural broadband and access to the internet on this podcast. Today we're going to talk about one of those new technologies that shows promise for helping get internet across to more communities in Wisconsin. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag LocalGovMatters. I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports. I'm joined today by Tom Still, president of Wisconsin Technology Council. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Gwen. Glad to be here.
All right, let's start with the basics. What is white space? What are we talking about?
White space is one of a number of alternatives for providing broadband in hard-to-reach places. And in this case, white space really actually refers to that white space between television channels. If you go back to the time when television was just coming on, late 40s, and there was really a crowd, it was almost a gold rush, and the FCC decided, we need to put some white space between these channels so that there isn't interference. And there was. I mean, there were many instances of that at the time. And so it is a spectrum that is around 600 to 700 megahertz in that bandwidth space, and it literally separates the channels. Now, time rolls on, and the white space is obviously still there,
right?
And most of those channels are still chartered, although not all. And this same space can be used to transmit for broadband, for internet. And it works just like TV channels. When you think about your TV, if you're in rural Wisconsin, if you're in Rice Lake, if you're in northeast Wisconsin, wherever, it's going to go over hills, through homes, through your walls. It gets there, right?
Right.
And that's how TV works at that level. And so the white space can do the same. And so that can be used for internet.
So the TV stations were set up in the 40s, and this space has never been used for anything else? It's still just available for any other use?
It can be used for some emergency use. It can be used for, there are some things like ham operators and others who are out there who can make use of it, but it's never been licensed for anything else.
Okay.
And so it's the frontier between those other bandwidths, and it's available, and it works. And so the notion over time has been that this can be made more available, especially in places like rural Wisconsin.
So if that space was put in between the TV stations because they were afraid there was going to be bleeding between the TV stations and you're going to get I Love Lucy over Leave It to Beaver, how are we not afraid that this white space is going to bleed now, or that if we put internet through there that it's not, I mean, you're not going to be coming over American Idol now?
Yeah, and I think that's still a concern some, if not many, broadcasters. They are not entirely convinced that there won't be bleed, and so that there are some technical ways to stop that and to prevent that. But they at the same time wonder about that. The Federal Communications Commission actually approved the use of white space for internet needs. Gosh, 2008.
Okay.
So it's been a while, and it just hasn't been really operational during that time. And I think part of that is because of the licensing issue. I think the broadcasters and those who want to use it, I think Microsoft is a great example of a national project around this. Both see that, there's that potential for bleed, but there are ways to stop it. And licensing could be a part of that.
So, I mean, we're not talking about suddenly you're going to be able to hook your TV up directly to the waves coming into your house. What's the technology that I have to convert this white space into my house so that my computer or whatever I'm running off the internet works?
Well, think of it as almost a Wi-Fi technology in the sense that it's wireless, right? I mean, it's going through the air. And that there are going to be special types of modems that you can get. They're typically mounted outside the house.
Oh, interesting.
And then wired in from there. So the setup cost can be a lot less than some of the other forms of internet delivery, especially in rural Wisconsin. One of the most expensive is fiber optics.
Right.
which can be, depending on the kind of physical barriers you see, that can be $30,000 to $50,000 a mile.
Right.
And so if you're on a long country road and you're one of maybe six people, well,
right,
guess what? It's hard to
get fiber optics there.
It's hard to pay for from there. But this is more on the wireless, I mean, obviously on the wireless side of things, and so that it can have lower installation costs, and then you go from there. And so then it can work sort of inside your home as if you're on some other wireless system.
So is this a technology that I'm going to go buy this modem that gets connected on the outside of my house, and then I have free access to the internet? Am I going to have to go through a company? How is that going to work?
Yeah, you would still need to go through a company, but hopefully you would have a choice of companies over time. Right now, Wisconsin is one of 12 states that is targeted for basically a pilot project around this.
Okay.
To see if there it can work at a scale that people believe it can work, if it avoids those kind of interference issues, and if it has market demand, I mean, to get right down to it. So those 12 states are predominantly rural. Microsoft is leading a project around that. They're going to underwrite that to a certain degree. And so, we'll see how that works. But over time, if it does, you should have a number of carriers to choose from.
Well, that would be exciting, having something more than nothing for some of the communities.
Oh, sure. And again, you know, fiber optics is very expensive. Copper can be slow, copper wire. Then there are some other things on the horizon. There's the Google Loon project, which is basically using atmospheric balloons to transmit wireless.
Wow.
And so that's out there as an experiment. There are things about I guess the general term would be fixed wireless,
okay,
which is making use of transmission lines or other things that are already there to really do wireless from that point. Now, in urban areas, as the 5G revolution sort of rolls on, and that's the sort of the next generation of wireless in its intensity and bandwidth, there could be small cell wireless, but that's probably not a solution for much of rural Wisconsin. It's just they have to be more densely packed, and so that's just not likely to happen. Although other states, in fact, almost every state surrounding Wisconsin has made it easier for 5G small cell to be installed. So, but that's another issue. but in this case, white space is one of those options because of distance and the clarity of it. And just like TV, white space can transmit over a longer period of time or distance and space, go through obstacles, and also be at an intensity that allows you to have good upload and download speeds.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the pros and cons and, you know, when we expect that people can start looking into this in Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
Tom, this is pretty cool new technology using the available airwaves that are out there. Is this a long-term solution for internet access in Wisconsin, or is this a stopgap measure? Is this just something that's going to be in place while we try to get fiber optics put everywhere in the state?
I think it has the chance to be long-term. Because, again, it's wireless. It doesn't require the capital expenditure and investment that fiber optics would.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the same time, there's a lot of fiber optics out there. There was sort of a burst, a revolution of fiber optics right around 2000 or so. And so there's probably fiber optics out there that not everybody knows where it's at.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to discount that. And it is highly reliable and it's good. But at the same time, I think it's one of those long-term options that can be employed because people are going to want choices. They're going to want different ways to get it. And if you're on, you know, the end of that country road in Mondovi or someplace, you can access that a lot quicker and a lot faster than you could the fiber optics. So, you know, the reliability side has to be fully tested, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, there's a lot that says that it is quite reliable. But I think it's going to be out there as a choice for a lot of people over time.
So what's the speed capacity, both download and upload? Because, I mean, if you're talking about a family who wants to get online so that the kids can do their homework and the parents can do online banking, and their needs are probably less than a company that's looking to go online and have more access versus, you know, somebody in a school or in a hospital who needs a lot more download capability for video and stuff. Mm-hmm. So what is the white space offering?
It's going to be at least okay for all of those options. Certainly it's better for, you know, home and
right.
kids doing the homework and all those other things. But, you know, I'm excited about it because it does provide the higher upload and download speeds that can be used for things around e-commerce. You know, when you think about rural Wisconsin and what it needs, it really does need those options to make sure its businesses are thriving and its communities are thriving, that healthcare can be provided in those sort of distance ways. You know, there's a lot of great Main Street businesses in Wisconsin that only if they had the right access can be selling around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see this through the Tech Council all the time with companies and people who are doing some amazing things, but if they're confined to one or two counties, well, it's not reaching the full potential for that business.
Right.
And so this is, you know, yet another option to hopefully make that happen. You know, I think of places like in Ashland, just outside Ashland, actually, about 3 miles, there's a business called Superior Sauna. And Superior Sauna was, as in Lake Superior, and the quality, was all just selling really in that area. Now they're selling all over the world because they got the right access in the business park that is just west of Ashland. And, I mean, they just sold a bunch of their products to Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
So, that's a huge reach.
Right.
And it's all because they have the right connections. You know, they would tell you they changed their business model some, but at the same time, they're still doing quality service, quality products, the right people. So that's what, you know, the internet in general, and hopefully something like Whitespace can bring to these areas.
So last week on our podcast, we talked about the connecting aging people to the internet and technology. Mm-hmm. And one of the big issues there is telemedicine and people being able to communicate with their doctors, whether it's by email or whether it's a video conference with their doctor and staying up to date on things. And so this has the potential to make that much more accessible for these aging communities.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the demographics in rural Wisconsin over the next, you know, pick a decade length, but probably, let's say, over the next 30 years, we're already at a point where we're an aging state compared to others. Now, mm-hmm. that's a whole Western civilization problem, right. to be honest, but we're already there. And over time, just about every county is going to have between 30 to 50% of its population at 60 and older.
Wow.
And that's like almost every county. I mean,
right.
maybe not Dane and a few others, but it's going to be pretty intense. So how do those people fit back into the workforce? How are they cared for in a healthcare situation? So telemedicine becomes a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it also becomes a part of how care providers themselves, who might also have older workers
right.
in that age group, can reach their patients, their clients, in a more affordable, easy way. So, Wisconsin has, you know, that to confront over time.
All right. So, you said Wisconsin is kind of a pilot program for this right now. So mm-hmm. when do people suspect that they should be able to start looking at this? When's the technology? I mean, how do people start finding out about this in their communities?
There are probably now less than a handful of places in Wisconsin where there will be these pilots carried out.
Okay.
So I think this is going to unroll over time. I would say over a couple of 3 years. Within that notion, there's going to be You'll probably hear about the local experiment in your region if there is one.
Right.
The thing that really has to happen for it to take off, and I think that's either in Wisconsin or other states, is for the Federal Communications Commission to license a certain number of white space frequencies in every space so that it can be used somewhat exclusively for that reason.
Okay.
So that, you know, otherwise it's still the Wild West, right?
Right.
I mean, there's, you know, everybody's on there, and there could be TV stations that, you know, are on the fringes. And so it's, you know, there needs to be a little more order brought to that. I think at the federal level, the states cannot license.
Okay.
On that. I mean, that's FCC and has been since the dawn of the broadcast era. But the feds are really the ones, if that happens, and the FCC decides to follow up on its 2008 order, then I think you could see things move pretty quickly.
So you suspect that as this continues to move forward over the next couple of years, there's going to be a large public relations and a large communications project with this that lets people in those pilot communities know, here's what's coming, here's what you need to do to get in contact with it, and people will be aware of it in their communities.
Absolutely. And you know, that's going to unroll over time. I think that's going to be a natural and something that those communities hopefully can look forward to.
Right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on at the legislative level and, you know, a little bit more about how Congress and the federal government weighs into all of this.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
So Tom, what needs to be done for this to be brought to Wisconsin? Now, I know Representative Feltzkowski and Senator Mark Lind introduced a resolution in the Wisconsin legislature asking Congress to approve this. What does all of that mean? What does Congress need to do? How does the FCC play into this? What's going on?
That that piece of legislation, which was a joint resolution, was passed by both houses of the legislature here, the Assembly and the Senate. It had good, strong sponsorship in both houses. And it, in essence, asked the FCC to move ahead with licensing up to 3 white space channels in each state. And so that made it through with quite a bit of bipartisan support. Yeah, I mean, it was people thought it was a good option, and they went for it. So that's what needs to happen next. I think the FCC is probably going to collect such resolutions from a number of states. And begin to move forward.
Does Congress have to take any action in this? Does Congress have to direct the FCC to do it? Or is this just the FCC on their own is going to start taking these resolutions and saying, all right, let's get this done?
I think it's really just the FCC alone. There could be some congressional action. I was trying to think on the fringes about what could be needed. But at this point, the FCC, because it's following up on its own order from 2008, probably has the authority to do so. Now, it's been preoccupied. Things like net neutrality have kept them busy for a while. But they may turn their attention to these kinds of broadening of internet across the country pretty quickly, because it really does have a public safety imperative, an economic imperative, so many reasons that it can do for rural areas what has happened in a lot of urban areas. Think of tourism. You know, if you're in Minocqua and you're up there on vacation and you're going to stay 3, 4, or 5 days, maybe you stay 2 more if you know you're reliably connected.
You can work from there.
Yeah, and the business back home or whatever isn't going under while you're gone. So I think there are a variety of reasons for the FCC to move on this once it hears from state governments and the public, and to start taking the next steps.
So when communities are looking into doing these things, do they need to reach out to the FCC as well, or is it just the FCC needs to do this. And you said that they passed a resolution in 2008 to do this. Does that expire at some point, or it's just whenever the FCC gets around to it?
I think it's a standing sort of order out of the FCC right now. And it can be revised and probably will be as it moves along. But yes, I think hearing from local governments, counties, municipalities, school districts, health systems. You know, if you've got a rural health system someplace in Wisconsin that really depends on this kind of thing for reliability and safety and all of that, I think it makes sense to have an opportunity to speak up to the FCC too, because I'm sure they want to hear from real people.
So you're saying county boards, local supervisors, they can all write letters to the FCC saying, our state has passed this. We know that the FCC is looking at this. We want you to move ahead with it because we need this in our communities.
Yes. And I apologize. I don't have the right address right with me, but yes, that's the case.
We can include that in our blog posting of the podcast so that people have that.
Excellent. Because the same spots where the state resolution, where the joint resolution went, would be the same natural spots for the input from local governments. And, you know, that's where people are going to be closest to the problem and understand how it could really help them. If you're in, a county in rural Wisconsin, let's say Trempealeau, and you know that you've got some physical barriers, it might be something related to the hills and valleys and so forth in the Coulee region, that fiber optics is going to be really expensive, but white space may be something that could get you there because of its ability to get around those physical barriers. So those are often the people, too, who know that, this part of the county is okay served, but over here we're a desert. Yeah.
Right.
So that's what I think could be really helpful as the FCC moves ahead.
So you have talked about Microsoft being one of the companies that's really interested in this and moving forward with this. Do you expect that as the FCC starts doing these licensing, that there will be grants available for some of the communities that are trying to get on? Will some of these bigger companies come forward with things to help these communities get online?
I think, you know, in the past there have been some things to sort of prime the pump around what's going on in the internet and accessibility. The Connect America Fund 2 is one good example. That's up and running. And there could be grants through Connect America Fund 2, which is basically technology agnostic.
Okay.
I mean, it's just looking for the best ways to get things done in different locales.
Okay.
Wisconsin happens to have much of this has been contracted, but Wisconsin happens to have the second largest amount of grant dollars available of any state in the country through Connect America Fund 2. Only California has more. Now, why is that? Well, probably because that says something about the need, right?
Right.
And the hard-to-reach areas. And so, you know, folks who are in local government, whether they're county boards or individual supervisors or people from the towns or whatever it may be, would do well to reach out to the state broadband director, Angie Dickison, who has been watching the deployment of the Connect America Fund 2 dollars and helping implement around the state. And so, and she's very knowledgeable about what's going on in white space as well, among all these other options. So I think a good outreach point for counties and other people in local government would be Angie Dickison at the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin.
Excellent. Well, that's the end of today's podcast. And, you know, if you're listening and you want to find out more about this white space, check out the blog post and we will have links to everything that everybody needs to know. And they can contact their county supervisors or their municipalities, their supervisors there, and, you know, just start requesting for more things in their communities. I want to thank you, Tom, for coming in. Again, you're the president of the Wisconsin Technology Council. So thank you for coming.
Thank you, Gwen.
And this has been a great discussion, and we look forward to talking with you next time on #LocalGovMatters.
Thank you.